Good morning. Today's responsive reading is number 674 in the back of the hymn book. I'll read the regular print and you can please respond with the bold. The title is Spiritual Warfare. So finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Let us behave decently, as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for the words that we have read from your word this morning. Lord, I pray that as we are gathered here today to worship you and, Lord, to celebrate together in your name, Lord, I pray that you would open our eyes to the spiritual forces that are at work around us. Lord, that we would be aware that we are living in a world that does not choose to serve you. But, Lord, that because we have chosen to serve you, we are obviously and naturally going to come under attack. Lord, I just pray that these words which we have read this morning, we would be able to claim for our very own. Lord, I pray for each one that is here that you would protect us, that you would cover us with your blood and with your protection. Lord, that in all things, as we choose to serve you, Lord, that you would walk before us and guide us and protect us as we go. Lord, I just thank you for this opportunity we have to gather here today to worship you. And Lord, I pray that you would be here with us as we are here. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. The title of this message is More Dangerous When in Disguise. And I've been thinking of the title and then trying to remember things that I know in my industry, in our industry, in the electronics industry and in other industries about fake products. And also I remembered what an Iranian sister said to me, told me about their church. She said that in Iran there was this evangelical church and there were many people and the church was growing and there were a few others that came in and they joined the church and they became very active. And they were all blessed to see so many people come in and some become very active. And she said, but little we know, or we didn't realize that these people had infiltrated the church. They were from the government or the police or religious groups that had come in to see what we're doing and take names and then expose these names. And she also said that many were arrested because of them, and even the pastor, and his name was Hovsepian, an Armenian pastor, was killed. And because these people were so effective in disguising themselves as part of the congregation, and they learned a lot of things that would prove that they were genuine, the church was fooled and people were fooled. I was watching a news program from Greece the other day, and they had a program about counterfeit shoes. And it was interesting because they said when you pick up a pair of shoes in Greece, you look at them, they look very Italian, there are Italian letters on it, and it says made in Italy, but actually when you start taking them apart, you realize that they were made in China. So what they do, they go to China, Italians and Greeks, and they buy thousands of shoes, take them to Italy, and then change all the names and everything and write made in Italy and sell them to Greeks as Italian shoes. Very expensive. Well, the same thing is happening, I believe, in North America with religions and political groups also. There are a lot of fake people, a lot of people who disguise themselves as the real thing, but they are not. There are many misconceptions about evil and the devil. As a matter of fact, the devil is cute in some pictures. Yesterday's. I opened the paper and it says like this. Did anyone see that? I mean, it's cute, right? It says American Idol's little devil. There is no such a thing as little devil, of course. A devil is devil, and I'm going to put it right here. Then people take these pictures, oh, cute little red horns and little beard and red eyes and cute. But there's nothing cute about the devil and the enemy. Cartoon characterizations are not true of the devil. The devil is not now in hell, but is free to rule in the world. There are people who believe that the devil is bound and is thrown in hell right now. And if the devil is in hell and is bound, so what is this evil stuff that we see around us? Is not God doing it? Is not the Holy Spirit doing it? But it is the evil spirits that are free still on this earth to control a lot of minds and a lot of people who have allowed the devil to control them. And people say, oh, you still believe in devil? And you know what? There are more people who believe that there is evil and devil than they believe that there is God. And if you believe in evil, then you must believe for sure that there is good. The Bible is very clear that there will come a time, the last days, that satanic religions will rise and increase. In 1 Timothy 4:1, we read, the Spirit clearly says that in a later time, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. People will be involved with seducing and evil spirits. People will compromise, water down the message of Christ, and even accept doctrines of demons, cults, and other groups. People tell me or ask me sometimes, what do you think of the Jehovah's Witnesses? What do you think about the Mormons? Aren't they Christians also? They are clean cut, they wear white shirts, and they go from door to door and they talk about Jesus, they talk about God, they talk about heaven. You know what? The devil is, as I said, is not stupid, and the devil is not, he is the father of all lies. And if you are the enemy, if you want to fight the enemy, you will pretend to be friend of the enemy to allow you to come in. And these are the extreme examples of cults, but then there are all kinds of other doctrines and beliefs that are being allowed to come in the church. The other day I was reading in the Gazette, actually, or in another paper about the ecumenical movement. And actually, I know what it was. It was a magazine that I received from the States, the Berean Call. And there I read an article about the ecumenical movement. It was explaining what the ecumenical movement is. You see, what the world is trying to do, or at least many groups are trying to do, is bring all kinds of religious groups together. The Muslims, the Hindus, the Buddhists, the Christians, the Catholics, the Protestants, and have one united religious group. And you know what? The devil is not stupid, as I said. He will try everything to fool us to believe that it's good, it's cool. Now, you may ask this morning the question, why are you talking to us about the devil? Well, you know what? When you go to, when you join the army, they will talk to you about the enemy more than they will talk to you about your own country. Because you want to know what the enemy is like, you want to know where the enemy is coming from, you want to know what the enemy does to destroy you and your family. And the enemy is not going to come and say, you know what, my name is Satan, and I am the devil, and I came to tempt you, and I came to destroy you. He doesn't do that. He comes to you and says, you know what, it's cool. Religion is very good. As a matter of fact, religion calms you, and religion supports you, and you have to become religious. But then he misleads you to places and doctrines and groups that eventually will destroy your mind and destroy your faith. The devil is more dangerous when he's in disguise. The devil actually is very effective and dangerous when he is clothed with religious responsibility. Excuse me. You hear all kinds of news about religious groups, religious leaders who have committed adultery, who have stolen, who have done this, who have done that. But while they were doing these things, the people thought they were genuine leaders or genuine pastors, genuine priests. But then later on, they discovered that they were not. Sometimes you listen on the radio a message and you say, "Why, that sounds great." And then somebody else comes up and he preaches a message and you say, "Well, that's nice too." And after a while we become confused. That is why I believe we Christians should concentrate, take the Bible very seriously and listen to what God says to us through His Word and through the Holy Spirit. And we must ask, my prayer to God daily is that He should give me the spirit of discernment, to be able to discern, to know what is right and what is wrong, to know what to say and what not to say. There are two questions we must ask this morning. How can we recognize our enemy when he is in disguise? And second, what is the devil doing when he is in his best dress suit? First, he is trying to complicate the gospel. The devil's business is not to come to you and say, "Don't believe in the Bible." The devil's attitude or program is not to destroy the church completely, although that's the ultimate goal, his ultimate goal, but he doesn't start that way. What he does is adds and removes truths from the Word of God. He complicates the gospel. He does it by using false leaders, teachers, and doctrines. We read in 2 Corinthians 11, 13 to 15, the following. "For such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, masquerading as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. It is not surprising then if his servants masquerade as servants of righteousness, their end will be what their actions deserve. Masquerading is having a mask. And you've seen the old theatrical programs or movies. They would just take a mask and stick it on their face, and they would become a man or a woman, black or white. And the devil has a very good way of masquerading or of changing his appearance from situation to situation. And the Bible says very clearly that it is not surprising then if his servants masquerade as servants of righteousness. Am I here this morning to destroy the reputation of preachers or priests or churches? No, I'm here this morning because I believe, after hearing so many people ask me questions about this group, this faith and that faith, that doctrine and the other doctrine, and hear people argue and debate about this doctrine and that doctrine, and what do you think, Pastor? But so-and-so on the radio said that, and the other one said that, and there are all kinds of confusing messages coming to our ears daily that Christians give up. And I believe that the only safe way of dealing with all this is to allow the Word of God to speak to us. If someone says, what example can I take? Having three wives is okay because the Bible says so. We must also take that and put it into the biblical context and see what Jesus said. And if someone says, well, okay, getting drunk once a while is okay because after all, we take that and bring it into the Bible and see what the Bible says. If someone says, you know what, you don't have to be born again. God loves everyone, and because God loves anyone, he wouldn't send anyone to hell. Then you take that doctrine and bring it into the Bible and see what the Bible says. And if someone says, you know that every time you sin, you lose your salvation and you go to hell, you are about to go to hell, you take that and bring it in the Bible and you compare it with the Word of God. If someone says, no matter what you do, you don't lose your salvation, you bring that in the Bible and you compare it with the Word of God and see what the Bible says. Because everyone has an idea, an opinion, a doctrine, but those doctrines and ideas are not necessarily biblical. If they're not biblical, then you shouldn't accept them. The simple gospel message has been complicated by Satan, so no one understands it anymore. What is the simple gospel message? Well, let's read it. Let's read 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried and he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. Christ died for our sins according to the Bible. That is a truth. We must accept that. He was buried and rose again according to the Bible. That is a truth, and that we must accept. We are saved by faith alone according to Jesus in John 3:16, and not by works. We read in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, for whosoever believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That we should believe. But false teachers and churches teach that we are saved by works or law keeping and not grace. Apostle Paul puts it this way, Galatians 2:20-21. I have been crucified with Christ, and no longer live I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. You see, I was born in Athens, Greece, as you know, and the state religion in Greece is Greek Orthodox. And then you talk to people who claim to be believers in God, and you talk to them about faith, and you talk to them about heaven and hell, and to them everything is so abstract. They cannot really understand it clearly. And you say, well, okay, then when you die, if you are a believer and you die, are you going to go to heaven, or what happens to you? Well, the answer is always, unless the person is a born-again believer and has accepted the Word of God, says, well, I don't know. I'm doing my best. And I'm helping the poor sometimes, and I pray sometimes. I go to church once a while. And you see, what they're saying is they're basing their salvation on the way they live, or what they do and their works. And you know what? You can never impress God enough with your works, and you can never impress God enough with activities. You can never impress God with your religiosity. You can never impress God so much so that He'll forgive your sins and He will give you eternal life. The only way that you can receive eternal life, the Bible says, for whosoever believes in Him, not believes in Him, just I believe in Jesus, but accepts Jesus as the Lord and Savior of the human race and follow Him, then you have eternal life. That is a promise. We all must believe that we receive eternal life when we accept Christ. And the price that paid on the cross is the price that we had to pay, and He paid it for us. So that is the way to be saved. That's the only way to be saved. And it's not as a professor I was listening to a long time ago when I went to a conference in Hamilton, Ontario. He was a theologian, and he said, you know what? This old-fashioned thing about being born again, it's not right. He said, there are many tunnels leading to God. And he then started naming religious groups. And I challenged him, and I said, you mean to say you don't have to be born again, or you don't have to receive Christ? And you mean to say that Christ is not the only door? He says, no, that is old stuff. Well, you know what? The devil has done his trick on this man. This man is a theologian. He's teaching people to become pastors. He teaches in a theology seminary. And this man is teaching that all religions lead to God. Well, you know what? The devil, he did not come in that seminary dressed like a devil with horns and red eyes. He came as a professor. And this professor is teaching theology. A few years ago, a couple of girls went to McGill University to take some theology classes. And then after a while, they came back during the Bible study and said, we quit. Why? Because these professors don't believe in God. You know, so the devil is at work. There are some pastors who need to be saved. There are some priests who need to be saved. There are some evangelists who need to be saved. There are some writers who write books about how to do this and how to do that need to be saved. And salvation is not by works. Salvation is not by writing books. Salvation is not by teaching, but salvation is when you accept the Lord Jesus Christ and you are washed in His blood, and His blood removes all the stains and every sin from the past, gives you eternal life. The devil will take that and change it a little bit first, and then change it a little more. And then when you become religious, he will come up with doctrines that will confuse you. The devil's arguments may sound convincing, but they are not true. Don't forget that the devil is a liar. His lies sound like higher standards of holiness to those who are deceived by his lies. He ridicules being saved by grace through faith, and so he adds to the gospel all kinds of rules, doctrines, and man-made religious activities. But to add anything to faith reduces faith's power. Or he removes basic truths and replaces them with humanistic messages. Humanism is very popular. New Age is sweeping the churches. Churches have dropped the word blood. The churches have dropped the word salvation. Churches have dropped being born again and replaced them with... there is a preacher in the States that my wife says, look, listen to him. You listen to him for about 45 minutes and not once he mentions the name of Christ. Not once he talks about salvation. He always talks about mind power, how you can change your life, how you can become successful, how you can become this, how you can become wealthy, and the devil is sitting there somewhere and laughing his head off because people are getting confused and are turning their eyes into another god. There are many gods, you know. The other day we were talking in our Bible study about satanic powers and magic and all kinds of things. And one of our sisters who is from Africa, from Ghana, said, you know what, you Americans and Canadians don't understand the power of evil. There is real magic going on. And actually, if you think about it, there is real magic going on in the States and in Canada and in Europe. Only our gods are called, there are different names for our gods, or the gods of those who don't believe in Jesus. Money, sex, drugs, pride, cars, thank you, Philip, cars, all kinds of things. We have many gods that are being worshipped here. Of course, we do have the devil worshippers too, and churches, satanic churches. We must hold to the simplicity that is in Christ. This Bible, this Word of God, is very simple and easy to understand if you allow the Holy Spirit to help you understand it. But the moment you read something and then you go to encyclopedia or you start reading other books of many writers, then it becomes a little confusing and more confusing. And then you become very confused. Well, first I said, the devil is trying to complicate the gospel. Secondly, he is contradicting the message of the cross. The devil's job is to take away from the cross, from the power of the blood of the cross. The devil hates the message of the cross. There are only two messages. First, Satan's religion says, do this and live, or do nothing, for there is no God. Secondly, Christ says, it is done, believe it and live. Christ says, I paid the price. All I want you to do is accept my free gift and you'll be saved. Satan says, no, you got to do a lot of hard works, you can't do it. Who are you to be able to be forgiven? And all kinds of confusing messages you may receive. Rejecting the cross and the blood shed on the cross is more appealing and politically correct for many today. The cross seems too violent, too bloody, too gross for many. Some hymn books no longer have hymns about the blood. Many ministers don't preach and teach about the blood and its saving power. The devil has been at work brainwashing people with his social gospel. And today's messages, most of the gospels preached today are social gospels. As a matter of fact, I remember a family we had here, and they were very active in the church. And one day, this lady spoke to me in one of the meetings and said, Pastor Joseph, I'll be leaving this church. I said, why? What happened? She says, well, you always talk about Jesus. You always quote John 3:16. You always talk about being spiritual. I said, what did you want me to talk about? She says, a social gospel. We must reach people and help them. And, you know, I would rather have social gospels, social gospel preached than you. And they left. It's very appealing. As I said, brainwashing people with a social gospel, this all-inclusive, politically correct social gospel, and you may call it New Age, is useless gospel, not the saving gospel. No matter how good you become, no matter how New Age doctrines you know, and no matter how nice the music that you're listening to is, it's only deceiving yourself. The Bible makes it very clear that the only way to heaven is through Jesus and His saving blood. Number three, one was he is contradicting the message of the cross, and number three is he is, that is the devil, is causing a lot of controversy and confusion among Christians. 2 Corinthians 11:15 says that he comes as an angel of light. Satan's workers appear to be righteous and religious like angels of light. As a matter of fact, those who cause trouble in the church sound so right, so convincing, that you don't even know what the difference is between them and the others. But when the Holy Spirit is in you, and you have the spirit of discernment, you'll know if it's not in the Bible. And you say, why are you stuck with the Bible? Because if you take away my Bible or the Bible, there's nothing else to help me live a Christian life. Because there is no Christian faith without the Bible. And if we call ourselves Christians, that means we are the followers of Christ, not the followers of Billy Graham, of Joseph, or Charles Stanley, or MacArthur, or Arminius, or whatever. We are, and we should be, the followers of Christ. That's why we are called Christians. Or else, we'd have been called something else. The devil tries to divide and conquer. Many leaders and people are used by the devil to divide and destroy the church and those who follow them. These false Christians often appear to be super spiritual, but all they do is sow strife and bitterness among people. We must live and we must learn to recognize the devil even when he comes appearing respectable and religious. Satan promises the best but pays the worst. He promises honor and pays with disgrace. He promises pleasure and pays with pain. He promises profit and pays with loss. He promises life and pays with death. Resist him when he appears in his best dress suit. Bring him to the cross where he was defeated by Jesus. Christ will someday expose the devil and his servants for what they really are. Just remember that if you are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and your name is written in the book of life, you are going to heaven, and the devil and his servants are going to hell. Do you have the assurance of your salvation? I hope you do. If not, you can be sure by inviting Christ in your life and heart right now. This is not a crusade to sort of give you a guilt trip by saying, unless you come now, you will whatever. And I believe in crusades. I believe crusades do a good job. But the best way of reaching people is one to one. You speak to your friend. You speak to your co-worker. You speak to the teacher or someone and share with them what Christ has done in your life. And that is more effective than having a super preacher preach about things that most of the time are hard to understand. But when you speak to your friend, if you speak to someone and share with them what God has done to you and how God has changed your life, then that will be effective. And when today some of you go downtown to distribute those tracts and the Bibles, the New Testaments, just pray every time you give one and say, Lord, shake him. Convict him. And yesterday we watched that little film, and this gentleman was saying that when I was praying for someone and lay hands on him, I was saying the right words. But inside me, I was wrestling with God and saying, please God, convict him. Help him to understand. And that's how we should be. We should love the person that we're talking to and bring him to the Lord. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for being so kind, so loving. Lord, we also thank you for giving us your word, the Bible. Father, if I, as a messenger, said something that was wrong and was not according to your will, please remove it from our hearts and minds, erase it, and only help us to keep the things that came from you. And now, Lord, I pray for those who are going back home. Be with them, please. Guide them, direct them, protect them. And I also pray for those who will be going downtown to distribute tracts. May every tract, may every leaflet, may every New Testament that will be given and every contact that will be made be blessed. And may you protect them, protect each one of us, and give them the strength and the ability to do whatever they do in your name and for your kingdom's sake. Amen.